Thank God.
Roger. Roger's off the hook. It's just us. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 and just a little bit of chapter 6 tonight. Taking a look at family relationships. Last week we took a look at our relationship with God, how we need to develop our relationship, how we can develop that relationship. And the reason we develop it is because He knows us and He wants us to know Him. And that's the whole purpose of being able to relate together, is to know one another. As we take a look at family relationships, we're primarily focusing in on the your biological family or your at-home family. Next week, we're going to take a look at the church family. Ephesians 5, and then just a few verses in chapter 6. Would you consider your home to be a refuge, a place of peace, a place of respite, a place to get away from the challenges of the day?
On the most, I would say yes.
On the most, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. Your perspective of it, anyway.
Depends on who's the boss at the moment.
At the moment. At the moment. Well, for the most part, we do consider our homes to be a refuge. And our assumption of this may not, like you said, always be the reality. And not saying it's, you know, good or bad one way or the other. But after we take the hits all day at work or out in the world and you come home, sometimes it's not easy to release or to just rest, and you end up getting some of that frustration out, and that's where we need to overcome. The purpose of being in our homes is not to desire for everything to be our way, even though that's the temptation. You can't have it your way outside of the home, so you might as well have it your way at home, right? But that's not the purpose of living in relationship, is having it your way. It's relating to the rest of your family, loving them enough to know what their desires are, their needs are, and being able to extend yourself to serve them as they serve you and make this a mutual thing.
It's either my way or the right way.
Because your way is not the right way. Yeah. So that's where we're going to start, is looking at mutual submission in the family, which is somewhat our relationship with the Lord is in the same way. He has already submitted himself to us. Not that he is stepping off of his throne, not that he is abdicating his throne or his authority, but he has served us by giving of himself and by coming to earth in the form of man. And so he has already extended himself to meet our need. Now we must mutually submit to him so that we can be useful for his kingdom, which is, I don't want to say a need of God, because God doesn't have any needs. But it's a right reciprocation in that relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Somebody want to read that verse? Oh, 21.
She likes the other one better.
She does? No. She does, in the sense that it is in God's Word. But it's all of this is hard to apply. Verse 21 is hard enough to apply. What does it mean to submit?
Tap out? Yeah.
That's
excuse me for saying
that.
Give in, give up. Okay. Okay. Right. To be subject to.
For instance, not demanding, where is my supper or whatever, but I'm making supper, Diane, do you want this or that?
Okay. It's a placing oneself under another. Being subject to, submissive to, yielding to. That's what this submission is about. You yield your rights, you yield your wants and desires, you yield that to another. And so we are to have a mutual submission. Now, the context of this, it's really kind of somewhat up in the air, because the verses just prior is talking about getting along or dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then right after, it talks about the husband and wife relationship. Now, there's no paragraphs, there's no delineation necessarily in the passage. Remember, this was written as a letter. It wasn't written with verses in it and headings and, you know, that type of thing. And so there has been some debate whether verse 21 goes with the prior section or if it goes with the latter section. I think it goes with both. I think it fits well with both, because he's making a bridge between talking about the general generality of the family of God, bringing it down to your personal family, because we need that bridge, and we need that continued mutual submission. So it goes with both. But taking a look at this mutual submission with our family, we can see the benefits of that. Notice it says to submit to one another, to each other, and you're to do that out of reverence or with fear, a fear of God. What does that conjure up? What does that picture, what picture comes to mind when you talk about fearing God?
Okay.
Okay. So we're submitting to one another would be in submission to him as well, because it is in obedience with his word. And like you said, a reverence. It is respecting him out of reverence for him that we would do this with one another. And so, yeah, it builds together. So there is the mutual submission. It is with one another. It is with awe or fear, a reverence of God. It's not an awe or fear of one another, but it's awe or fear of God in which we do this.
Well, Jesus was saying to that he says, when I was hungry, you fed me, when I was thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Do this unto the least of my...
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So meeting their needs. Exactly. Mutual submission is not the norm. That's not the natural bent or the natural way that people conduct themselves, having a mutual submission. That's a biblical term. That's a biblical concept. But in our world, especially in our world today, mutual submission You don't hear a whole lot about that. Hollywood, they have their prenuptials. What is that? Is that mutual submission? That's not submission at all. It's, I'm going to keep mine, you're going to keep yours, and we're going to part eventually, so let's just have an agreement here. Yeah?
Has a lot to do with harmony.
Has a lot to do with harmony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Blending together, working together, and making it sound, or making something good out of that. Yeah. Yeah. What is it like to put your need, others' needs before yours? Okay. Who is to put their needs before others, the man or the woman? Okay. The cat does not understand mutual submission, does she? Poor Gracie does not understand mutual submission. She only understands it as long as her needs are met, right? We don't like talking about this subject, but it's right here.
But that works both ways. We should put the woman should put the man's or right in front of their wife. Mm-hmm. Should put the other's needs first.
Now the husband put his wife's first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that therein is the mutuality. And that's where this whole passage often gets skewed. Because that is the introduction into the next part that Paul has given. There's a mutual submission here. It's not an autocratic or a dictatorship that is established in the scripture. And for many, many years, that has been the way that it has been portrayed. And that is incorrect. What God is wanting us to see is a mutual submission, which is necessary in order for relationships to grow and develop, in order for those relationships to blossom and to have harmony, to have the peacefulness and that tranquility in the home. Otherwise, you're going to be fighting, and there's going to be this competition between one another, and then there's going to be the finger pointing. Well, you're not living up to this, and you're not living up to that, and there's never going to be any peace in that.
This seems to be one part of Scripture that can indicate one another.
It and often is. And often is. Well, let's read the portion then that is often taken out of context. And take a look at what describes this mutual submission in a family setting. With the wife, the husband. And then it goes on into chapter 6 and takes a look at the relationship of children and parents. Would somebody who'd like to read 22 through chapter 6, verse 4? I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 4. Yeah.
Husband, wives, and husbands.
Okay. Yes.
Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body. But he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church.
Mm-hmm.
For we are members of his body,
and go on the next four verses in chapter 6.
Children, obey your parents and the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Okay. That's it. We could get into slaves and masters, but that doesn't apply as well to us right now. No, it's your boss at work. He's the master, you're the slave. So it is your wife. Yeah, she's your boss, okay? So, okay, husbands and wives, relationship. What did you note there? Very common passage. We've read this many, many times. What are some things that stand out?
One thing is love your wife as love yourself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he also says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
Christ gave them himself to the church. And that's what we should do. That's husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the church. So, right.
So is that an easy thing to do? About loving your wife as Christ loves the church is where you were headed. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's where the mutual submission comes into play, is because we don't see things from the same perspective. We're viewing it from different points. The one thing that I drew out of this is it doesn't... Both a husband and wife are given... commands in which to uphold, but the command isn't to be subservient to the other. The command is to do this out of reverence for Christ, and it's the example is what the Lord has set into place for us. The wife is to submit and respect her husband as unto the Lord. And the husband is to love his wife as unto the Lord. And both ways, the focus of this is as unto the Lord. Too often we skew this and leave God out of it. We leave the Lord out of it and just say, well, this is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. No, this is what we need to do because of him. He is the key. He is the center of all of this. And that's the connection of family relationships. we can do all of the good things, you know, garner all of these characteristics, garner all of these principles out of Scripture, and have good families. But when we leave the Lord out of it, it's good, but it's not best. We need the Lord to synthesize it all together, to secure it all together. And our love and respect for one another needs to come out of our love and respect for the Lord. And so when we keep Him as the center of the focus, then it will all come together. And in the same way with the children and parents. We have lots of kids here, so we can really hit this one. Children are to be obedient to their parents, which is the establishment that God has given, to honor your father and mother, one of the commands. And the first commandment with a promise, notice that he refers back to the Old Testament. He was referring back to Scripture because they didn't have the New Testament as he's writing this. Everything is referring back to the Scriptures and showing that the children are needing to be obedient. If we do not teach obedience in the home, where will they learn it? Certainly not in the world, because that's exactly where we are in our culture today. Is we are standing on the brink of anarchy because we have not allowed for the homes to establish obedience. We've taken that authority away from the parents and that authority away from the government because the government is wishy-washy on it. And these kids are being brought up with everything is virtual and I can virtually obey but not truly obey, and it's supposed to be okay. And they are not given the respect then when they try to hold a job because they can't, there's no commitment there, there's no function there. And so they find themselves in a world of hurt and everything is unfair and you hurt my feelings. And that seems to be the big catchphrase, you know, these days, you've offended me. And it's just a bunch of crybabies is what we have allowed to. And then they act out of frustration and anger, and in doing this, then our whole culture is going down the tubes. We need to establish that obedience in the home. Nothing is said about abuse. Abuse your children, smack them until they obey. No, you teach them that obedience. And if you want to go back to the Old Testament, go back to Deuteronomy and see what God says about teaching this obedience to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6. As the nation of Israel was getting ready to go into the promised land, Moses is reminding them of God's law, the things that God has taught them. And he starts out with, these are the commands and the laws that the Lord your God has given to you. Verse 3, hear, O Israel, be careful to obey. So it's for everybody. So that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. So there's a benefit in obedience. You're going to see the success of this. You're going to see the benefits of this if you obey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That's the basis of their relationship with God, is recognizing Him as the only God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols in your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How are we to teach our children the things of God? Daily. In the natural walk of life. That's how we teach the children. It's not send them to school so that they will learn these things. Exactly. And with and with the Lord's commands in mind, with the Lord's ways in mind. And how do we do this? We live it out. They see it actively in our lives, day in and day out. This is the relationship in the home. This is the mutual relationship in the home. The parents are in service to the children, bringing the children up, making things available to the children so that they have the best possible opportunities to have the best life. And the best life is going to be one knowing what are the expectations of God. And they're going to learn that when they see it lived out in their parents' lives. They will know that this is a natural way. This is the way in which to live. But if all they see is, okay, it's Sunday, we need to clean up, we need to dress up, we need to go to church, and we need to behave for at least an hour. You know, just give me an hour, you know, and I won't smack you for an hour, but I'm going to start smacking you at home when we get there if you act up during that hour, because we need to put on this little act for everybody else. No wonder kids are leaving the churches. If they don't see it on 24/7, if they don't see that this is a natural part of life, if all it is a show that you put on when you go to church or when you go to this or go to that, or, you know, they're not going to live it out. And so they need to see that it's a natural occurrence. And that's why we teach them as you're standing up, as you're sitting down, as you're lying down, you have it around your house, you have it displayed on the walls. It's not like in a literal sense that the Jews took this. You write out the law and you put it on a little box and you put it on your forehead and you wear it, you know, because that's what the law said to do. Who knows what's in there? You know, who cares what's in there? I have it written. That's what God wanted me. You know, you're just trying to meet the demands of the rules instead of the principle of it. God wants us to live it out. And the more that we live it out, the easier it is going to be to teach, and the easier it's going to be to develop in those relationships. And going back to Ephesians, that's why, you know, the children were to be obedient as unto the Lord in response to the Lord's commands, yes. But then fathers, notice it wasn't mothers, but fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not be overbearing. Do not cause them to be angry, but encourage them in the ways of the Lord. You know, help them to develop in the ways of the Lord. It's not that the fathers are to be a dictator or the enforcer, but instead bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And that's the whole reason for that. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, the foundation or the what's behind the scenes for this mutual submissiveness is what God has established already for us. Verse 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." This was demonstrated for us. This was given to us. And so we need to respond and reciprocate this unto the Lord. Being an imitator of God, being one who is living as a dearly loved child, living a life of love. If we can get those things down, having this mutual submission to one another, if husband and wife are both living in this way, that mutual submission and that love, that's going to be there and evident, no problem, because we have to keep our focus on the Lord. Jesus lived out the principle of submissiveness, referred to Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion," sounds like good relational things, right? "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the example that the Lord has lived out for us, so that we can then live in humility and tenderness and compassion toward one another, especially in the home. Another foundation or plan for this mutual submission given to us in the verses just prior, look at verse 19 and 20. Paul writes to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we had an air of praise, worship, and thanksgiving about us, the mutual submission is not going to be a problem. That's the foundation for this mutuality. That's the foundation of realizing that the Lord has made, he has given us everything that is sufficient for our well-being. And we can be thankful for that, and we don't have to clamor for our need or our desires to be met, because we know that God has already met our needs. And so that selfishness is held at bay. And we can control that because we know that God is going to meet our needs. We don't have to take it out and shake others to demand for our needs to be met. We can have an attitude of thankfulness that our needs are already met. You're smiling, Jerry. Right. Yeah.
I don't want to win the lottery. I need to win.
Because you want the headache that comes along with that.
That's it.
That's the rest of the story.
That's what Paul Harvey said.
Yeah, that's what Paul Harvey said. Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. If you made them steal cigarettes or made them drink and do drugs, made them do things that were detrimental to their upbringing, that's wrong. But making them do something that is of the Lord, making them do something that is going to be good, you made them take a bath. You made them have clean clothes. You made them go to school to get an education. You made them do those things, and that's not bad. That's leading them in a right direction. That's the whole issue with regard to training our children, is that we need to make them, we need to discipline them, we need to show them the right way.
Well, I'm just asking because... Yeah.
Sure. Right. Right. You laid a foundation and you allow her then to make a choice on her own.
She doesn't even take Jesus' name in vain, so
mm-hmm.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah. Okay. When we lay the foundation for mutual relationship and mutual respect, mutual love, mutual concern in our homes, we lay a foundation for others. As we demonstrate that and they see that. and they need to see it. They need to see that loving kindness can exist in our world today. It doesn't exist naturally in our world. It's not going to be shown naturally in our world. It's going to be an irregularity. But that's what's going to make it so attractive, is when we show the world, this is how we are going to live as a family, because we are family of God. And we are going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, to show the better way, to show the best way, so that others will know that He is alive. So they will know that He does exist. And so they will know that His way is the best way. Take them to church. Force them to do those things. Because it's a discipline that needs to be established. You could just leave them to themselves. You know, I mean, you would be arrested for neglect if you left your baby at home instead of taking your baby to church, or your 2-year-old, or your 5-year-old, or even your 12-year-old, because we need to establish that discipline in their lives. That's the responsibility that has been given to us as parents. And it's a responsibility that they need to take on themselves at some point in their life if they're capable.
So I did the right thing with my children, and now they're adults, and they still accept Christ as their Savior. Satan is working there.
Satan has always been working. Yeah. But we all have an accountability unto the Lord. We all have that responsibility to Him.
Whether they believe that or not.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
Once they get old enough that they should have enough brains of their own, they can make their own decisions.
When my son Sean was about 10 or 11, I was teaching him how to sweep the door in the garage. Well, why do I have to learn this? And I let him go at it, and then I showed him the best way to do it. I said, well, when you're an adult on your own, and the only job you can get is a janitor,
or when you have a garage of your own someday.
Might be dirt.
It could be a dirt floor.
Yeah, there's my way for ourselves was dirt. That's what I used to teach the guys that are here in the shop. I can only teach you in the way that I know how, in the best way that I've learned. Once you learn, you can then develop your own way.
Right, and I told them that too.
But you have to learn the basic principles first. Because you know how to dial the phone, right? Call the experts. Yeah. The whole point of this is the mutual submission in our family relationships. And that mutual submission begins with our relationship with the Lord. So as we grow in Him, we will be able to grow closer with one another. And in that, we will be able to see and glorify Him in our homes. And that it's not just, you know, raising your children when they're little. It's all throughout, having that mutual respect even when they're adults. And sometimes that's hard to deal with, releasing them and allowing them to falter on their own, allowing them to grow on their own, but because you always want to tweak it a little bit. But that's something that we're always learning. You know, I would love to tell my kids what to do, but I know that I can't. And so keep your mouth shut and then just watch them blossom and watch them grow. And what a blessing that is.
For me, part-time is go ask your mother. Wait until Dad gets home.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed in the tour that I do when I'm in public, whether it's at the scripture or whatever, store or whatever, I submit in a sense, I hold the door open.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A lot of people just walk in and they don't even know you're behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll try to set an example.
Sure. Yeah, the world calls that paying it forward. Yeah.
The world has gotten so turned around that a lot of times I've opened the door, hold the door, they get upset with you.
Mm-hmm. We give up our rights when we come to the cross. That's right. Well, we have time to pray. We need to pray for Vacation Bible School, which will be in full session 2 weeks from tonight. So we are under 2 weeks before our blast off for starting gun for game on. Starting gun.
Yeah. No, it's not to say fire. You can say gun, but not fire.
Oh, it's okay to say gun! Don't say that at the airport or in the courtroom.
I know it's not about me, but I think my bronchitis is coming back. Sneezing and coughing, it hurts or something. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not easy being any of us. Kristen Piontek will have a knee replacement surgery next week. I believe it's on the 12th, which is a week from yesterday. So be in prayer for her as she makes those preparations. David Kopp saw a Facebook post this afternoon where he had a good checkup with his doctor, and his tumors continue to decrease in size, and it's been slow, but it's been steady, and so I praise that he is healing. He still doesn't have his voice back as it was, and so that's been a troublesome for him, but he's still taking some treatments and is still gaining ground there. He's never started chemo. He's doing an alternative treatment, more holistic treatment, which is working. The cancer is gone from his leg that was once there because it had metastasized and spread to other parts, and it's gone from his leg, which is a praise. Anne? Yes, I believe so. Mm-hmm. And yes.
I saw Sharon last night. She's very overwhelmed, and Marvin is getting really depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to him late this morning and mentioned that I might try to come by and see him. He goes, "That would be good." He jumped right on that one. So. Yes, ma'am.
In regards to what Anna said about Nathan's dad, he went well.
Okay.
He is now in his own recovery.
Okay. Yeah, I knew he was going to be a couple, 3 days post-surgery in the hospital, and then he'll be home.
Who was that?
Kirby Jeske, Nathan's dad. Mm-hmm. Okay. So pray for Randy.
My general prayer is for Amanda that she gets her life Stephanie. She's in the hospital in
She's in the hospital.
Yeah, further up north. Anyway, last week, Wednesday afternoon, she was driving home evidently, and a gravel truck rammed into her. She has a broken ankle, broken wrist, some spine damage. She's doing better. It's not life-threatening. I'm not sure how really bad it is, but it's bad enough. So.
Right.
And she is a sweetheart, sure. Her heart is
in the right place.
Definitely.
It's in her chest.
We all know Brennan. He's staying with both of my daughters, Carrie and Kristen, at 9 o'clock. And when I had him last week, he was running a fever off and on, and I couldn't tell you all the way how my daughter, Carrie, said this morning that
For VBS, we often think of just, you know, flow of things and smoothness and such, but what we need to also pray for God's touch on the children's lives, the eternal touch. We don't do VBS just to get kids to come. We do VBS that they may know Jesus, and that's the real essence of our prayer.
I'll give you an example for all of you. When I was bringing Brennan to church, and one Sunday, the last Sunday of Robin, drove in and he said, "My church!" So he knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also pray for Chris and Rachel as they make their preparations to begin their ministry here. I'm looking forward to that. And I think I know that he is, definitely. And for Diane's and Maria as they fly home late tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Sorry. That's right. This is Wednesday, not Thursday. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful that we can come before you and sing your praises because of all of the mighty, wonderful acts that you have done, not only in our lives, but in the lives of countless people ahead of us. We thank you that your faithfulness has been sustained throughout the ages, and that even as we look all around us in nature, we can see your handiwork, and we can praise and proclaim you as King. Father, we're grateful that you'd allow us to have a relationship with you. And Lord, we recognize that everyone has a relationship, but we need a positive relationship. We need a growing one instead of an adversarial one. So we pray that you would continue to do a work in us, that we would be submissive to you, walking with you in obedience and in respect of who you are, and recognizing that we are the creatures and that you are the creator. We thank you for the privilege that we have to approach you in prayer, making requests. But that privilege also allows us to praise you and proclaim your goodness. So, Father, we are grateful. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Thank you for showing us our real needs and meeting them. We thank you for giving us in abundance that which is necessary to maintain our life here on this earth. That you've gone even beyond that by giving to us that which is necessary for eternal life and allowing us to walk with you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And Father, you have seen fit for us to experience your love. You've seen fit for us to know of your love. You've seen fit for us to remain in your love. And for this, we are grateful. We thank you for these physical bodies that you have given to us. And although they fail us many times, we realize that they are, for a time, they will not last forever. And so, Lord, on the short time that we have here on this earth, may we be healthy, strengthen us, and keep us in your fold, that we may be able to share with others and be able to experience your goodness, so that others will see your work in us. We pray for healing for these that have been mentioned that are in need, for Kirby and the surgery that he had today, the continued healing with David Kopp, for Eddie's niece as she recovers from the auto accident that she had, for Marvin and his broken leg, for Randy and the surgery on his broken leg as well. Father, all of these that come to mind as we recognize that these physical ailments do affect us. We pray for Eddie and the bronchial issues that he's suffering, and for his grandson, Brennan, as he's had some illness as well. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our feeble bodies in these ways, that we may continue to thrive and continue to be useful for your kingdom's purpose. Lord, we ask for safe return for Maria and Diane as they fly home tomorrow. Father, we thank you for safe return of our children from Texas as they return from their visit during the wedding here. For the rest of our family who has safe return, thank you for allowing that. And Lord, we know that many will be traveling this summer, and we pray that you would put your protection around those. Encourage us to continue to grow in you during this summer, that we would use this time in a faithful and positive way. We thank you for the privilege that we have for Vacation Bible School in less than 2 weeks. And Lord, may you be glorified through this. We pray that you would not only bring the children and teach the children, but that you would draw them close to yourself, and that we would be faithful to give to them your words of encouragement, to give to them and show them the scriptures so that they can know of your care for them, that you love them, and teaching them all of these different lessons that they would realize that you not only are real, but that you want to know them, or you want them to know you in a personal way. Lord, praise you and thank you for giving us this privilege. And may we do well with this. We pray that you would work through the mission stories, through the songs, through the snacks, through the recreation, through the Bible study, through all of these different venues, the crafts, and that you would allow the children to learn and to know you. Father, pray for the children's families as well, that they would be recipients also of your gospel message. Pray that you would cause those children to go home with those songs in their hearts and singing them and being able to share with their families the things that they have learned. And Lord, may we make a connection with these families as well, that we may continue to strengthen and encourage this in them. Father, we want you to be the focus. We want you to be paramount in our work. And so help us to keep you foremost in our minds. Keep you foremost in everything that we do and say, that we would be bringing you the glory. Father, we pray for the continued ministry of each of us here at this church. And Lord, we pray for those that will be joining us soon, for Chris and Rachel as they make preparations to move here. Father, we pray that even now you be laying a foundation for Chris's ministry and how he's going to work in our lives and how you're going to work through him as a blessing and strengthening us and strengthening others as they're brought into this place. And Father, we pray for your continued work in different ones' lives that are on our prayer list. Those that are in places of ministry, those that are listed as needing health. Father, strengthen us all, that we may see the answers to these prayers, that we may see the answers to these requests, but also, and most importantly, that we would see you. Help us to seek after you as we continue to know you, as we continue to grow in you. And may we put our lesson to action as we have mutual respect in our homes, having that mutual submission and showing our love to our families, and that we would be able to do this in demonstration of your love for us. Again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us into fellowship with you. And thank you for making that possible. We praise you because you are God. We praise you that you have created us to serve you. Help us to be faithful in this. And make us strong as we do so. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.